Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Sunny day, sweeping up.
For Americans, these are the familiar sounds of children's television. Now imagine a version of the show in which Hebrew-speaking puppets play together with their Palestinian neighbors. In this version, they sing together and learn each other's alphabet and sleep over at each other's houses. Sometimes they fight, of course, maybe over who'll sit where in the sandbox. But they always remember to use their nonviolent conflict resolution skills. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, it's not that simple. In times when about 20% of the civilian casualties on both sides are children and teenagers, the notion of friendly neighboring is complicated. Palestinian and Israeli TV professionals working on their own versions of Sesame stories say the old models needs new approaches to adjust to reality in today's Middle East. Connection listeners, what do you think should be the role of children's television in times and places of crisis? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can join us online at theconnection.org. I'm joined today by three people involved in the production of Sesame Stories. Alona Apt is the executive director of the Israeli production of Sesame Stories. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Hi.
Alona joins us from Israel. And Daoud Katab is the executive producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Katab.
Thank you.
And we're also joined from New York by Sherry Rosenfeld, the project director of Sesame Stories. Thanks for being with us, Sherry.
Thank you.
Sherry Rosenfeld, let's start off. Why Sesame Stories? There was a name change. Can you talk about that from Sesame Street to Sesame Stories?
Sure. As you mentioned earlier, Sesame Street, which was Rehov Sumsum Shara Simsum in our first season, which premiered in 1998, was begun in a very different time and in a very different climate.
This was right after the Oslo Peace Accords, correct?
Right. The project was initiated following the Oslo Peace Agreement with the hope and the plan to prepare children on the ground. I mean, with the handshake on the White House lawn, there was the feeling on the part of Sesame Workshop and some of our core funders that this was the time to use Sesame Street to prepare children for what then felt like would be this inevitable peace. And we went forward with great caution in the region to survey professionals in the fields of education and child development to determine what would be best, what would best serve children's needs at that critical time. Similarly, as the events of September 2000 and the Second Intifada began to erupt, we spent a lot of time talking to people in the fields, both here, people in child development, child psychology, as well as in Israel, in Jordan, and in the in Palestine as well, to best understand what and how we could present these messages of respect and understanding, empathy, perspective taking. And the feeling was that we needed to take a slightly softer approach, meaning we couldn't really model the beginnings of friendship or even direct contact between Israeli and Palestinian Muppets or children, that was too far removed from the reality of their day-to-day lives.
It's hard to imagine, though, Sarah, what could be softer than Sesame Street. But I understand where you're going with this. I mean, how to adapt that to the situation in the Middle East.
Right. Unfortunately, right. Sesame Street, as we know it, but the situation on the ground, and I should really turn this over to Daoud and Alona to talk about it. You know, on the Palestinian side, even the sounds of Hebrew can be inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And so even that is something that we need to be respectful of, while at the same time trying to make a difference in the lives of these children.
Mm. Well, let's go over to Israel and start with Alona Apt. What do you hope the viewer gets out of this effort, the child viewers who watch these programs?
The series will be broadcast on Hop, which is a channel dedicated for children up to the age of 7. And our belief when setting up the channel, and it was one of the first of its kind dedicated to this age group, was that we felt that children at this very vulnerable age should have the possibility, or their parents should have the possibility, to expose children to television viewing, which doesn't put them immediately under the great pressures of a very violent television, a very competitive atmosphere, and many role models that parents would not necessarily choose for their children. And so in some ways, our concept of HOP in general, and in this case, any children program that we would put on the channel, was of giving a safe haven. This, especially on the with the reality we're living in, has a special additional aspect, as children are living in difficult times, and if children are experiencing fear and different difficult experiences. But on the same time, we also feel today that we do not want to only use this powerful tool of television just to give a very soft, pinkish place where you can go to and have a good time, which is not a small do at all. If we'll do that for kids, it's a lot as well. But I feel if we can use the power of television to help nourish them with the kind of tools we as parents or educators would want children to have, then we're doing the best of our profession. And this show, I think, is a perfect vehicle to do so, and an inspiring one to do so, because we are trying to look for ways where we can, without hitting the raw nerve, give some small tools or strategies that would help know the other child, know another culture, and also build in the children some help building tools of dealing with situations and finding different ways to resolve conflict.
Tolerance, understanding, conflict resolution. Daoud Kotab, the executive producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. Those sound like pretty universal aspirations and principles.
They are, and they are things that we very much would love to have our children grasp and deal with if we have the opportunity and if we have the atmosphere to be able to begin discussing that. Children are represent the majority of the Palestinian population, and I run an educational TV station. The president of our university, Professor Nasebe, he's always encouraged us to try our best to really guide our programs to children so that we can try to produce in the children something that present-day adults and adult leaders are unable to do.
Interesting. Let me go back to Ilona Apt. Can you talk a little bit about how Sesame Stories are different from Sesame Street? I mean, talk about some of the format changes, and how you're trying to get at some of the issues over there.
The traditional or classic format of Sesame Street was that there was a physical street in some other kind of reality where different neighbors live together. And talking about the raw nerve and I think the feeling of everybody involved in this project was that we have to find ways that the show will be credible and that it will not create antagonism, and on the contrary, that maybe even through the children and the positive experience of viewing it, things would also maybe diffuse into the family and into the community. And that's why we felt that maybe we should go through the stories that each culture and each nation has for centuries grown its children upon, and by sharing these stories and opening up sort of a more, I would say, international look for the child to understand that he's living in a region, he's living in a world, that would be maybe a better vehicle to deal with the issues that we do want to bring forth in the series.
Sherry Rosenfeld, when Sesame Street went on the air in this country in 1969, what was it trying to do then in terms of trying to reflect the reality in the streets in terms of racial mix, tolerance, understanding, that sort of stuff?
Well, in 1969, when Sesame Street went on the air, there probably wasn't a street very much like Sesame Street, where African Americans and whites and Asian Americans lived together harmoniously, certainly not with, with monsters. But Sesame Street was trying to create a new reality and new images for children of America. I think much in the same way that we are trying to provide, you know, unfortunately, children in the Middle East are not seeing positive images of the other. Forget about whether they're seeing them even harmoniously working together. They're not seeing positive images of the other in any case, you know, whether on Palestinian television and certainly even Israeli children. And so what we're hoping is that in some small way we can provide a window into the other culture where children can see other kids just like themselves.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw your point over to Daoud Kitab. On your television station, how is the image of everyday Israelis presented normally? I mean, I'm not talking about Sesame stories, but what are the opportunities of Palestinian children to see everyday Israelis?
Well, we don't normally present Israeli soldiers or Israelis. We, you know, our children's hour is mostly international cartoons that are dubbed to Arabic or local programming. We have recently began a series of spots that are done with UNICEF to try to basically give children something more pleasant to deal with and some advice on how to deal with the trauma that they're going through because of the constant shelling and the bombings and the curfews and things that we are experiencing. So we try not to deal. We don't do news, so there isn't really an opportunity to do anything with Israelis.
Mm. So Sesame Stories, then, is a chance to present an image of Israelis to your viewers. What do you present them with?
Well, we hope to deal with a number of issues with Sesame Stories. You know, in the last 22 months, there's been a siege on the West Bank and Gaza, and most Palestinians, certainly children, have not basically been able to leave their towns and villages. And so we want to introduce international concepts, international images to children, as well as Israeli. And we want to basically try our best to humanize the other side, to try to impress on our children that there is humanity there and that we are similar but different in that, you know, we all have two hands and, you know, two legs and, you know, have basically the same interests and have loving parents and all the things that children, you know, want to be reassured about. And we want to show that other children also have that. They might be different in some ways, but they're also similar in many ways.
Alona Apt in Israel, it sounds like Daoud Kitab is talking about a method to essentially provide a childhood, a normal childhood, or at least a piece of a normal childhood to children.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that?
It's a difficult task in our region to give our children a peaceful childhood, and it's something that we're trying to deal with in different ways. Our decision was recently we just had a meeting with all our channel staff, thinking maybe we should re-look at our policy and should we be more explicit explaining to children things that are happening. Not recently, I had figures about the numbers of Israelis that are candidates to be post-trauma behaviors, and I think it was something like 25%. And just to give an example, I think after 11th September...
Alona, hold that thought. I'm sorry to butt in, but we have to take a break. I want to come back to that point after the break. The number to call is 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK for the Middle East Sesame Connection. Connection listeners, should kids' TV in conflict areas present reality in a way children can deal with or an ideal for them to strive for? This is The Connection. I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll be back after a short break. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. This is an Arabic version of Shahara Simpson, the television show based on Sesame Street.
Simpson,
Connection listeners, we're talking this hour with television producers Daoud Kattab, Alona Apt, and Shari Rosenfeld about Israeli and Palestinian efforts to create children's programming in the midst of the Middle East crisis. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think children's television can achieve in times and places of crisis? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Shari Rosenfeld in New York, let me talk to you. Talk specifically about an episode or two that in the format changes that are being seen over there. I mean, I'm talking about plot lines. Could you give us an example or two?
Well, just to be clear, that the Sesame Stories is currently still in production. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that actually is being seen yet. It's not on the air. It's still in production.
I misspoke. What I meant, what will be seen.
What will be seen, yeah. Yes. And even the plot lines themselves, what I can tell you what the basic format of the series and how the plot lines will be developed. Basically, at the heart of every episode is going to be a short 5-minute animated story taken from Jordanian, Palestinian, Israeli, and even some American literature. And the themes of those stories will revolve around universal messages of respect, understanding, empathy, sharing, perspective taking, tolerance. And those themes themselves will become and drive the themes of the entire episode, so that the Muppet segments, the Muppet Studio segments, and the other live action segments, the short documentaries that are a signature of Sesame Street, as well as the animations, will all be connected to the themes of the story.
Hmm. Let me jump over to Israel to Alona Apt. Can you tell me about a specific story that's being developed?
Yeah, I can give you one example to a synopsis which was discussed yesterday. It was a very simple reduction or not reduction of the big problem of water in our area. You know that it's an area with very little water, and many say that this water is at the core of much of the tension. And the idea was to do in our studio scene a problem with a big can of water, where one Muppet wants the water for himself because he got there first, and he wants to have all the water left in the can, and the other one wants, and there's a bigger dispute, and the situation deteriorates very quickly but humorously, because we try to maintain that in the show. But what we try to do throughout the plot is that the Muppets, which in this case resemble, at least in their stage of development, the average child, will try and find a different kind of solution. And then when they try turns, they try all sorts of solutions, but then they find out it's even worse, because it's not enough just to have the water for yourself. There's just not enough water for both of them. Hmm. So then they have to think in a positive way. They have to find a different kind of solutions. And when you ask about what the role of television is, I think what we can try and do in series like Sesame Stories is to try and help the child say, don't accept the ways of thinking that are currently there. You have a brain. You have the strength to think originally. You have good ideas. Let's come up with a good idea. And they understand that they have to get water from somewhere else. But it's very heavy. They can't get it alone. Mm. So they have to join forces, and they have to get this big barrel of water from someplace else. Now, maybe the parents that will view it will understand some kind of parallel situation of a problem that is a very big problem in our area. Maybe not. Maybe the child will just get it in the level of the story which is presented. And that's fine as well, because first of all, we're doing a show for children. And we want them to enjoy it. We want them to have a good experience while viewing it. We want them to know they can accept it at a regular hour, because in this situation we're living in, kids are experiencing lots of they're not in control of their lives, their parents are not in control of their lives, and we want to help the child have some things that are regular, some things that he can know he can be waiting for at a certain hour, that they're friendly, that they're warm. So that's the first step. Mm. And if it can be thought-evoking, and if it can give him some strategies for his life, so then that's a lot for a television show.
Interesting. Alona, I'm curious about this. It would seem, and this is sort of an obvious statement, but I want to get you to respond to it, and that is the warm and cuddly atmosphere of Sesame Street is so at odds with the reality of what's going on in the streets that I'm just wondering, do these programs even have a chance of resonating with the children over there?
This is a very severe problem. If we do something that is too sweet and too saccharine and is not believable, it will backfire for us all. And this is something that we constantly waiting. How much should it be warm and cuddly? Because that's the first thing children do need and do want. And how much should we use the characters and the stories to try and relate? Our decision was not to, after consulting also psychologists, we feel that at the age that we are directing to, there's no sense in presenting harsher situations which the child may be knowing from his day-to-day life anyway, because we can do more damage by explaining it in a way where we don't know the child in what situation he's viewing television. Is he alone in his house? Is there a grown-up with him? Does he have anyone to talk about it later on? So we felt that dealing with the actual difficult trauma that he's experienced yesterday or an hour ago isn't going to be helpful.
Interesting. I want to say that we've lost contact temporarily, we hope, with Daoud Kitab. He's the executive producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. We're going to try and get him back and bring him back into the program. In the meantime, we want to bring some listeners in. You can join this discussion by calling 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Simon is calling from Salem, Massachusetts.
Hi. I have a question. Been listening to what sounds like some excellent programming ideas, and I think it's a brilliant concept using children's media and the Muppets in particular to reach youth in the Middle East. And I'm wondering, the producers working with people that have history and have experience in teaching conflict resolution and peace-type skills to youth.
Question for Sherry Rosenfeld.
Any time that Sesame Workshop undertakes a co-production, and we do Sesame Street local... Hello?
Yep. Hello, I'm
so there. Okay. We do local versions of Sesame Street in some, I think, 20 countries around the world, including South Africa and Russia, in China. We work with educators as well as psychologists, both here and in the region. Because of the particular sensitivities around this project, we have spent what seems like a lifetime, but probably about a year and a half in what we called a development phase of talking to people in the field of peace education, conflict resolution, violence prevention, to help influence our strategies. You know, ultimately, we hand off all of this research and it goes into sort of the creative process. But yes, we very much look to professionals in the field before we embark on the creative process.
Now, we're happy to say that Daoud Kitab is back. We've reestablished contact with him, the producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. You're back, aren't you, Daoud?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's good to hear you. Listen, we just had Simon who called in and talked about the importance, he asked whether there were experts in conflict resolution that are involved with some of the development of these stories. Can you address that? Is that an important element in what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, we do, as Sherry just said, we do use a lot of help from psychologists, and we have a curriculum content director who's an expert in this area. We also work with these people who do work with peace education. So, yes, these areas are important. In our situation, hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
In our situation, we have a lot of emphasis also on teaching our children the issues of confidence and self-respect and to be proud of their own culture and their identity, because we do feel that there is a feeling among children that their own national identity is being threatened and their culture is being threatened. So some of our items and segments deal with the pride in culture, because we think that you cannot extend your hands to the other side unless you really have enough confidence and pride in your own cultural identity and community.
Interesting. Alona Apt, how does that play? How does that concern play with your audience of Israeli children?
I would like to please to address first the question about the conflict resolution.
Go ahead, that's fine.
Yesterday we had a meeting with a group that is a professional group that works with children, and actually it was very helpful in that many times exercises that are used with groups as an exercise of maintaining abilities of different conflict resolutions, they are a very good material, so to say, for script writers to translate into stories. For instance, yesterday I was told about an exercise that they do with kids that they divide the class into two. Half of them are requested to bring as many chairs to the center of the room in 5 minutes, and the other half get a different instruction, and of course they don't know of each other, of trying to put the chairs as far back next to the windows as they can. And at 99% of the cases, in 2 seconds, the children are yelling at each other, mad with each other, and they don't have the sense and the mechanism to first find out what the other side wants, what the other group wants. Now, this was just a very simple example that was told us by the psychologist that is working with kids, but it gave very good ideas for the script writers to translate into a situation that would be recreated in our Muppet environment.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Linda is calling from Newton, Massachusetts. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I can't help feeling that Israeli children must feel like aliens in a hostile universe. And how can young children be receptive to conflict resolution when their Palestinian contemporaries are willing to blow themselves up to kill Israelis? It seems overwhelming to expect them to even be receptive to any understanding.
Well, let's put that question to Daoud Kotab. Did you get that question from Linda, Daoud?
Yeah, I got part of it, that she doesn't think that...
The idea is the... Daoud, she thinks the show is a little realistic. How can you show conflict resolution when people are blowing each other up?
She has a strong point. We have a problem in trying to speak when the bombs and the shellings and the violence, it speaks louder than our words. So it is a good question, and it's one of the questions that is really puzzling us about when to actually go on air with this. Because my thought is that we should wait till there is some peace initiative or breakthrough before we would go on air. Hello?
Yes. So, Daoud, I know we're having a little bit of problem with your line, and I apologize to the listeners for it. We're going to try to reestablish better connection with you. Alona Apt, Daoud said that I understood him to say that they're going to delay going to air with these shows because of the situation, that this might not be the right time to go to air with them. Is that the view from the Israeli side?
No. From our point of view, I'm very hopeful that we'll be going on air on the beginning of 2003. That's not many months ahead. On the contrary, I feel that the worse the situation is getting, I feel an obligation for our viewers, our young viewers and their parents, to get the show on the air. I feel, answering the listener that called, the idea is not necessarily to push the viewer to confront yesterday's news, because that's above his ability. It's above sometimes our ability as grown-ups. Mm-hmm. But we are worried for our society as an Israeli society that being growing up in a constantly violent situation where cruelty and... is a daily thing, it affects the child's mechanism of understanding right and wrong, of being fair, of respecting rights, and that's why we feel it's very important the kind of image we'll be putting up for the child on the television. And it's not that we're demanding from the child to make a political leap in his understanding. He doesn't have yet a political understanding, and that's not the aim of the show. Mm-hmm. But we do want to give a different possibility of looking at the world, because I think that the picture that we will be giving on the television is a reality we are creating for the child, in that it is one more picture that will make up his childhood memories.
Alona, so is it completely divorced then, for example, to a news event on any given day? If there's a troubling development in the day's news, does that get reflected in any way on the program?
No, we're not there yet because we're not broadcasting, but it will not have any relations to the news. Because also the issues are such basic ones that they are truthful whether it's your kin brother, it's your kindergarten mate, or it's your neighbor across the border. It's the most basic issues of how we should live our lives as humans that want to flourish.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to you, Sherry Rosenfeld, and just talk generally about the whole notion of children's programming in after very traumatic events. I mean, you had to face these kinds of discussions and decisions in this country after September 11th.
Yes, we did. And
talk about a little bit of the considerations that were made.
Well, I think like most of the country, there was a lot of soul searching done about what kinds of, and for the Sesame Workshop as an institution, what our role was in both addressing children and addressing some of the negative stereotypes and prejudice that were emerging, particularly for within the Arab American community here in the United States. But and I know that the Sesame Street domestic team is now looking at ways of reflecting some of those issues in the upcoming seasons. What we did in the immediate aftermath was take a look at what we've already done on Sesame Street. For example, I think about a year or two ago, we did a week-long series on the hurricane. A hurricane came to Sesame Street and destroyed Big Bird's nest. And so there were questions about the community coming to comfort Big Bird, Big Bird's immediate reaction to the destruction of his nest, the rebuilding of his nest and the positive associations with rebuilding and empowering him to feel like he can make a change in his world. And we then actually rebroadcast that week-long series of the hurricane on Sesame Street in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, again, in an indirect way to comfort children and give them a sense that they do have a power to change their world. That
Connection listeners, what do you think should be the role of children's television in times and places of crisis? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We'll be back after a short break.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
This is The Connection. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're talking about children's television programming in times of war with Sherry Rosenfeld, project director of Sesame Stories from the Sesame Workshop in New York. We're also joined by Alona Apt from Israel. She's co-executive producer for HOP, the Israeli nursery channel, executive producer of the Israeli production of Sesame Stories. And we're going to try to regain connection with Daoud Kitab, who's the executive producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. And we're taking your calls at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK to join The Connection. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Brookline, Massachusetts. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for taking my call. The question I wanted to ask all the producers, is it possible that parents of these children on both sides are missing the universal message that the producers are trying to do and are somehow they may either deter their children or may not let them watch it, believing that there's some political bias in the programming?
Interesting. Let me go first to Alona Apt in Israel with that question.
We are concerned with it. We're actually just now running a research to try and get some feedback from the field about the position of parents, because one of the issues we'll confront is even the language question. We want to expose on our show children to the Arabic language and Arabic names, because we want them to have also a good connotation of it, and not necessarily to have an immediate association of the way that they connect it to a scene on the news. So, for instance, we are aware of it, that maybe for parents it will be alienating enough that they will be resentful for the show and will not want their children to see. My feeling is, we haven't got all the research back yet, but my feeling is that if we'll do credible, if our Muppets will be great and if children will like them and parents will see that it is warm and it is humorous and it is a good time, they will go over it. And that's exactly the kind of tension between the two poles that we are constantly checking out.
Let me put that question to Daoud Kitab, who rejoins us again. We've been having trouble with the line. Daoud Kitab, you're with us again?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. We had a question from a caller, and that is, are you concerned that the message of these programs is going to get through to the children when their parents might be skeptical or suspicious of the political motives behind them?
Oh, that's a fear, of course, that we all have. Remember, we are dealing with a children's program. I think sometimes all of us give a bit more weight to it in the present time. This is a children's program which we hope children will somehow internalize. And the results of these programs will not be really understood or felt until maybe 10, 15 years later. But they will somehow remember images. They will not allow stereotypes to dig in, so that they will really allow hatred and feeling the other side to be completely the wrong image. I think that's what we want them to do. Yes, parents might be skeptical, and they might have a right to be. I can't, tell parents what they should think. But I think what we saw in the first episode or series, that even parents in Israel who are left-wing or Palestinians who are very radical still wanted their children to learn understanding and learn self-tolerance and learn these images. So I think parents will be forthcoming, and children hopefully will internalize and start opening up their minds to other options.
800-423-8255 is the number to call. Let's go to Amy from Lexington, Massachusetts. Hello, Amy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First of all, I really want to applaud what the people from Sesame Street are doing. I think it is absolutely wonderful and absolutely necessary. I'm a parent. I'm also a child psychiatrist. I think that their capacity to have a real impact on the way kids think about themselves and others is profound. My only wish is that there were programs of a similar nature for older kids, for grade school kids, for high school kids, who have a better capacity to abstract and to actually try to climb inside somebody else's shoes. I've run some small seminars for college students and for high school kids, assigning them different roles in conflict so that they didn't actually get a choice of what point of view they were going to present, but in fact had to try to appreciate another point of view, and it's been very, very successful. I just feel very sad that we somehow give up on kids, of an older age, and even on educating our college students.
That's a great point. And let me put it to our guest, starting with Sherry Rosenfeld in New York. Sherry.
Well, that's actually kind of a difficult question for me to answer, because I think there are lots of institutions and organizations out there that are trying to address the needs of a broad spectrum of this target population, whether it be, Seeds of Peace, or other organizations that are working. You know, Sesame Street itself, is clearly an early childhood program. Sesame Workshop as an institution, though, is currently looking at a broader age range. In fact, we recently completed a study of 6 to 11-year-olds and did an update on it post-September 11th to see the impact of the events of September 11th. And we, as an organization, are trying to assess the best way to meet the needs of older kids, not college age, as you were mentioning, but certainly older than preschool. You get into a very different media environment, though, and kids don't have parents as gatekeepers, and the competitive environment is much more intense, and the entertainment values are a major, major consideration. I agree with you, but I think there are institutions and organizations out there that are addressing a broader spectrum, and that we, Sesame Workshop, are also looking at ways that we can make a difference, certainly for school-aged children.
Amy, thanks. Let's go to Peggy, who's calling from Martha's Vineyard. Hello, Peggy.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I think it's a nifty program that you're doing a very good job alerting us to what we should be thinking about more often. I think the important thing about your last caller's question is that the program, if you're going to deal with older children, has to be on the air where the kids on the program, for example, get the trust of the audience. And then when they talk about something like the September 11th problem, the conversation between kids on the program and the audience that's listening is more meaningful. WGBH, Public Broadcasting, did that with Zoom and helping kids understand about that building coming down in a way that was absolutely breathtaking.
Hey, Peggy, I just want to jump in here and thank you for calling. This is Peggy Charon, of course, and you know as much about this subject as probably anybody in the world, so we appreciate you calling in. I just wanted to alert...
I'd like to ask your experts on the program how they think we can get more money to do that kind of meaningful programming for older kids when corporations really don't want to focus on that.
I want to bring in our Alona Abt and Daoud Khattab from overseas, but first let me go to Sherry Rosenfeld, because that does sound like a question for you first.
Well, the issue of fundraising is obviously a significant one, and without very, very generous donations from a broad range of funders, we wouldn't be able to do this project, and we've been engaged in it since it's been almost 10 years. And funders fund other projects that we do around the world as well, particularly when there's a strong, what we call mission component, where there's no market to support our efforts, no licensing revenue channel back into the programming itself. I don't have an answer to it. In fact, I would hope that somebody else would give me an answer to that so we can raise more money to continue the work that we're doing on this project. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us who work for not-for-profit organizations and are trying to raise money to do the good work that we're doing.
Indeed, it's a challenge that a lot of us know about. Peggy, thank you so much for calling in from Martha's Vineyard. I appreciate it. And let me go back over to you, Alona Abt. Talk about the challenge of targeting very young children with a program like this, and combined with that sense of perhaps losing a generation, that is, the TV show can reach the very little kids, but their older siblings are lost in a very different reality.
First of all, we have to decide when we make a show which is the age we are focusing on, so that the show will be coherent and will be appealing, at least first of all, to the core audience. But here we're very privileged because the show will be shown on Hop, which is a channel dedicated to children, and we broadcast 14 hours a day from 6 in the morning till 8 in the evening. We want to use the platform of the channel to do different spin-offs that would diffuse the messages into the community. We hope that after we start airing it and the characters are recognized, we can do different interactive things with our audience, asking our audiences to do things and maybe sending us back tapes or sending us back pictures. I'll give you an example. One of the live-action items, because you know the format of Sesame has animation and has also live actions in it, is a little piece about two children playing ping pong on the beach, and it's dirty and it's horrible, and they think, well, we'll just go to another place, and then one of them says, no, let's do something about it, and they sort of get a gang of kids, and the gang does something good. It cleans up the seashore. And for instance, this is just an example. Maybe after showing this program, we could run a promotional spot asking kids, send us stories, send us pictures of things that you have done with your friends, and then we can use our broadcast time to show what the children have done, and by that empower children and inspire children, including older ones, to do other things.
Daoud Ghatab, producer of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories, let me put a question to you. I'm curious to know what you gained from coming together with your counterparts in Israel, for example. I know there were opportunities to have meetings and talk about this project. What did that do for you?
Well, first we gained without any deduction to our Israeli friends. We gained a lot from working with Sesame Workshop because of their huge experience, and they really helped us a lot in basically training better script writers and puppeteers and animators and so on. So on a technical level, we learned a lot from our American friends. With Israelis, as you had pointed out, this program is less direct cooperation. I mean, we're not actually cooperating so much on a day-to-day basis, and more of a, if you will, external idea kind of cooperation. So we continue to gain appreciation and respect for the problems and the difficulties everybody on this region has. But in the technical field, we learned a lot from the American friends.
And Alona Apt, same question to you. Was how valuable was this to have an opportunity to bring producers together?
First of all, it's been a privilege to meet the colleagues and the teams that we got to know. It's been a very special experience, and although this I'm talking on a small bunch of people, it's our crew, for each of us on the Israeli team, it's been a very good experience. First of all, on a personal level, as people, as Israelis, and it's very different when you have the opportunity to meet someone that you don't only like personally, but that you also you have a professional appreciation for their interest in our craft, which is television making for children. And for the workshop, we are extremely grateful for this opportunity, because we would not be able to tackle these issues in this way and hopefully create the experience that we want to create for the children if it was not for the initiative of the workshop and their ability to get the funding for it. And they are really helping us bring, I hope, a very good experience for our professional team, and give an opportunity for our team to experience techniques and things that we have not done yet.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank all of my guests today. Daoud Ghatab is the director of the Institute for Modern Media at Al-Quds University in Ramallah, and executive director of the Palestinian production of Sesame Stories. Alona Apt is co-executive producer of Hop, an Israeli kids TV channel, and executive producer of the Israeli production of Sesame Stories. And Sherry Rosenfeld, project director of Sesame Stories at the Sesame Workshop in New York City. This show was brought to you by the Arabic letter Alif, the Hebrew letter Mem, and the number 1-800-423-8255. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be.